Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I made some right. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm very glad to be part of your day, and I know it's a dream come true for you to be part of mine. I hear that all the time, folks, especially from my groupies. They love hanging out, and that's what I went in. That's the reason I went into radio, ladies and gentlemen, for the groupies. Howard Bihar is our guest, folks. He's our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust, former president of Starbucks Coffee. That's right, and he is the author of a book. It's Not About the Coffee: Lessons on Putting People First, from his life at Starbucks. And he's our good friend, Howard Bihar. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations again on your book. I know it's doing well.
It's doing really well. I'm getting lots of opportunities to talk to people all over the country.
Well, that's good, because you got a lot of good things to say. We've enjoyed our visits with you in the past, and I want to talk some more about leadership. Talk to us about, now you're like me. You're a 20th century guy that's finding his way in the 21st century.
Absolutely, that's true.
I've seen your gray hair. You've seen mine.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I remind people about is that things are different here in the 21st century. And guys like you and me, you know, most of what we learned in the 20th century, but only about 7% of that is still valid in the 21st century.
That's true. It's changing all the time fast.
But how is leadership changing?
Well, I mean, I think the significant change in leadership is where leadership, the concept of leadership, have been flipped on their head. You know, we used to think of, number one, we used to think of always of leadership is about, it's external. It's about leading others. But the truth of the matter is that leadership begins with learning to lead yourself first, because unless you become proficient at that, unless you really know who you are and what you stand for and how to lead yourself, it's very difficult to lead other people. So that's the first one. The second piece is where we've taken the concept of leadership and turned it from, it used to be the idea that leaders were the ones being served. In other words, they'd go out and hire people, they had these big staff,
right,
teams, and those people were there to serve the leader. And now, you know, everything is about what we call servant leadership, mm-hmm, and it's flipping all of that. James Autry, right. And it's about serving other people. And it came from a guy named Robert Greenleaf, who mm-hmm was the head of organizational development for AT&T in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, and this part of it is also the way the younger generations respond to leadership, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that old saying, people don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care.
Right.
And that is just really critical today, and particularly this young generation.
Right.
They don't want a boss.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've talked about over the years is this concept of not creating a casualty list. Whatever you're doing, if you're growing the business, you're making some changes, you're adding something new, you're taking something away, whatever it is that you're doing, shouldn't leaders stop and say, okay, what part of this has the potential to create a casualty list?
Absolutely, totally valid. I mean, if you think about the casualty list in terms of people that you have coming into your organization and people that leave, I mean, every one of those people that leaves your organization can either say great things about your organization and your company and what you do and sell, or they can say bad things. And you kind of have a choice on how they go out the door. And even if they're not the right person for that job at the particular time, you know, you want to hold them on. You want them to be, like, you know, an advocate for you.
Right.
And so it's, you're right. That's a great way of putting it, casualty list.
Well, I've just seen it happen. You have too. We've all seen where, you know, things were done, and I know decisions, tough decisions have to be made. My goodness, Howard, over the last 18 months, how many really, really hard decisions have companies had to make? Small business owners have had, you know, whenever they've laid people off, I promise you, Howard, I don't know a small business owner who laid anybody off the first thing they did. The first thing they did was cut their own pay.
Yeah.
Maybe eliminate their own pay, and then they lay people off if they have to. So these are hard decisions, and so we've all had to make them, but if you'll just think about that, you know, what... And at least if you have to go ahead and make the decision, at least you're not obtuse about what the damage is, what damage has been done, and maybe you can even avoid it. We're going to be right back with our good friend Howard Bihar. He is the author of It's Not About the Coffee, and as you know, he's president, former president of Starbucks Coffee, 20 Till. Here's Robert Cray to take us out. That's Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great Dan Fogelberg, one of the great artists of all time, and that's from the Innocent Age album. That song is called The Nexus. It's still one of my favorites. I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back, 17 Till. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance, because we built it just for you. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. Anything, any amount of time between those two or any topic under the small business sun, we've got something there that you can do. And read, listen, ask questions. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out my blog. I hope you'll do any or all of those things. And also, I'm on Twitter if you want to follow me there, at Jim Blassingame. Howard Bihar is our guest. He's the author of It's Not About the Coffee. And he's the former president of Starbucks Coffee Company. And in North America. And Howard, remind us how long you were with Starbucks.
It's 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
How
what
about
a
that?
Great run.
Yeah, you saw a lot of exciting things. How did leadership at Starbucks evolve over that 20 years?
Well, you know, it evolved like all entrepreneurial organizations do from the beginning. At the beginning, it was absolutely product oriented, you know, the entrepreneur was totally focused on the coffee. And then as the organization started to grow a little bit, the realization set in that, wait a minute, we can't produce this great coffee, sell this great coffee, you know, communicate about this great coffee if we don't have great people. And so everything got flipped on its head. Coffee was our art. You know, it's our creativity.
Right.
But it's the people that counted. It's the people every day that had to make things happen with inside the organization. So it totally changed from the time we had about 28 stores. Between 28 and 100, it just flipped on its head.
Well,
it totally focused.
I got to say that I'm not a daily customer of Starbucks like some people I know, but I probably go there, you know, a couple times a month. And because it's not the one that's nearest me is not that handy for me, but I'm not a big coffee drinker, although I do drink some. As you know, I like Frappuccino is my favorite. But I have to say, as I travel around, I'm closer to them on a regular basis when I travel through airports. There's always one at an airport, and I have to say that I've been if I just think back, I see pretty consistent smiling faces and pretty motivated-looking people and good customer service at Starbucks more than I see at a lot of the other places.
Yeah, that comes from what we were talking before about being a servant to your people. You know, if your people believe that the only reason why they're there is to make you wealthy, that doesn't work. You know, at the end of the day, the idea of servant leadership is putting your people first, putting the people you're serving, your customers first, putting your communities first, and then having faith, right? You got to have faith that all of that finds a way back to you,
right?
And it just does, you know. And it's
I call that's one of my laws of aggregation, Howard. In other words, aggregate the success of other people for your success. Let them be successful first,
right?
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the key. And when you do that, it just automatically comes back to you, and you have to have faith.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that the fundamental thing, whether regardless of their assignment, regardless of their job, regardless of what they're tasked to do, regardless of how much money they make, where they are in the org chart, isn't it the fundamental desire of everybody to be successful at what they're doing?
Yes, of course.
It is, isn't it?
And yeah, absolutely. Haven't you? I don't think I have ever met another human being that didn't want to be successful. That doesn't mean
right. They
all were
right
at everything, but they all desired to be. And the mark of a great servant leader is helping other people to become successful. You know,
mm-hmm.
this whole idea. The main difference, I think, in servant leaderships is that servant leaderships are concerned with others, while other kinds of leaders are more concerned with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then servant leadership is a philosophy. You know, it's set around some practices that we apply not only in our work, but in all aspects of our lives. So they become habit. They just become part of our own personal DNA.
You know, Howard, I wore the Army's uniform for a total of about 15 years, active in reserve. And a general told me one time, he said, I can tell what kind of a commander I'm about to meet by meeting one of his privates.
Yeah.
One of his enlisted men.
Right.
You know, he said, if I meet one of your privates, Captain Blassingame, he said that woman's gonna tell me an awful lot about you as a commander.
Boy. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
That was a very smart general.
Absolutely, and that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what you see. And what do you think your customers see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, they see exactly that, right?
That's right.
They know what kind of organization you are. It's simply by who are the people on the front line. So when you see those smiling faces or people that care at Starbucks or know your drink or know your name or ask, you know, want to talk to you about how your day is going, right, that says that they're concerned about you. And
right. That's
a reflection then on the total organization.
Well, and those are the things, those are the kinds of things that we need to be looking for, folks, as we're training our people, as we're getting our people ready to meet customers. Think about that. Maybe that'll motivate some people to do a little better job of training, Howard, by thinking, okay, whenever my employees wait on customers, you know, that's a direct reflection of me, and how do I want that to look? And it might give some people a little bit of a cold sweat there. Thinking about how things might be going out there. So think about that, folks, and train your people to think about that and think about how your people are meeting the customer and what kind of a reflection that is on you. When we come back, I've got a Confucius quote for Howard. I want to see what he thinks about it. Tintel, stay with us. Heartland music coming back, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Mellencamp bringing us back in great music from the Heartland. 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Howard Bihar. Howard is the former president of Starbucks Coffee North America. He's the author of It's Not About the Coffee. Howard, tell us how we can contact you, how we can find your book.
You can go to any of the usual suspects, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or your favorite bookseller. And you can contact me at Howard Bihar at howardbihar.com.
All right. So that's Behar, ladies and gentlemen. And check that out. You got a blog going there, Howard?
I don't. It's something that I haven't used, and I'm not trying to do that. I've started to work on Twitter a little bit, and so we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you, I know you got a lot to do, and I hate to give you another assignment, but the world is waiting on your blog post. So yeah. think about that, Howard. One of my favorite Confucius quotes is, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't remember the exact words, but basically Confucius said, "The greatest thing is to be in reality what you appear to be."
Right.
And you've identified 10 principles of leadership. Number 6 is be accountable. You talk about the truth. Only the truth sounds like the truth. And that's what I'm talking about. Be in reality what you appear to be. What do you think?
I think Confucius was an awful bright person.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's everything. Authenticity is everything. You know, how do you build trust in this world? Right? How do you build trust with the people you're serving, with your customers? That's by being who you are. And
Even when it hurts, even when nobody's watching.
Probably more so when
yeah,
it hurts.
Yeah, that's when the character test is, right?
Yeah, that's when you got to dig deep, you know? I mean, that whole issue of putting yourself out there, and particularly with the people that you're working with, you can't build trust a better way than doing that. And boy, there's one conversation I always have with leaders that are struggling, and it's about that one. Leaders usually that are struggling with that authenticity,
mm-hmm.
that you know, being the person that they want to be and being right out front with it. But you know, that is a great quote.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorites, and I think that I see so many different ways that people are tested with that. And I call it, a friend of mine, one of my mentors calls it a character test.
Yep.
You know, he'll comment on something, some point in a negotiation or a meeting or something, and he'll say, okay, this is the character test. This is where you find out what this person is really all about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that being who you are starts with doing the work to understand who you are. You know, you have to think about it. What do you value in life? If you say you're an honest person, you know, does that mean you'll cheat just a little bit, you know, on your taxes,
yeah.
or cheat a little bit here and there because it's better for you? Or does honesty mean to you that it's honest, you know, that you don't take those, if you're working for somebody, that you don't take those legal pads out of the supply closet to take home with you,
right,
you know?
Right, right, exactly. Well, and how are, is, what's, what is, where's value in your life? Is value in the relationships that you have with people, or is it in the money that you have in your pocket?
Yeah, well, we know the answer to that. At the end of the day, you're not going to remember the money, but you're going to certainly remember the people.
Right, right. And that's exactly right. And also, as we try to get customers not only to come to, you know, people will come and do business with you one time. It's not really that hard. In America, even today, it's not that hard to get people to come and do business with you one time. The real challenge is to get them to come back.
Yeah, and they come back because at the end of the day, they believe that you care about them.
Well, I think they come the first time because they're curious.
Yeah.
They come back the second time because they liked what you sold them.
Yeah.
But the third time, I think they're starting to look for values now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I think that's true. I mean, they're testing you.
Yeah.
You know, they're always testing you. And when the relationship is built, as long as you are, just like you said, as long as you are who you are and you care about them first, you know, they'll be with you for life. You could be
yeah.
10 cents higher. It doesn't make any difference.
I call those customers you can't run off.
Yep.
Those are the kind of customers I want, the ones you can't run off.
Yeah.
And Howard, don't you believe that more and more now and in the future, people are looking for more values than they are product?
Oh, yeah. No,
more than
no
ever
question
before.
About it. I mean,
yeah.
Product is a ticket to play.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a commodity.
You know, there's such equalization in terms of product.
Yeah.
Oh, they want to know, can they trust you? Do you care about them?
Yeah.
How will you serve them? You put their interests ahead of yours, and you're right. You can't run them off if you treat them like that.
The book is called It's Not About the Coffee. The author is Howard Behar, howardbehar.com. Thanks, Howard, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.